The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I've entitled this message, Righteousness Without Works. I hope that's what Paul writes down on the website, but I can't swear to it. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 4. I'm going to begin in verse 6 and read 7 and also verse 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. As I said, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Now, I know there are some who say you're not supposed to have favorite passages of Scripture. But it doesn't matter, because I have them, and this is one of them. Reading these scriptures gives me joy. I remember the first time I read these, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is talking about me as a young believer 30-some years ago. I remember reading this and thinking, wow, this is great, because this is the gospel that I need. I need righteousness without works. For the Lord had already shown me all of my righteousnesses, all of my works, in His sight, were nothing but filthy rags. They were worthless. They were useless. They were of no value. So this scripture means a great deal to me. You know, reading these scriptures, this passage in particular, I do want you to understand, no matter how you feel, and usually, more to the point, in spite of how you feel, these words are true. These words are the truth of God. Paul wrote them here under the inspiration of God. He's actually quoting David in the Psalms, who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy men of old, moved with fear, and wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. They wrote the truth, all of the truth that they knew, that was given to them at that time and at the time of Paul. This is the state of the man that Paul is writing about here. This is the state of the man that David was writing about here. David described, this is the way Paul starts it out, the blessedness of the man. That's the state. Blessed. Blessed. Paul is repeating what David said in the next two verses, verses 7 and verses 8. He's repeating what David had said, and he's expounding upon those words, because there is a man who is blessed. And this is the blessedness of that man. This, you know, this is the state, okay, the state of that man, the blessedness of the man. It's a beautification. You understand? This is the state of being blessed. This is what it means. This man is blessed. And Paul is starting here with the conclusion of what he concludes from what David wrote in the next two verses. Actually, David wrote it in Psalms 32 and verse 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That's what David wrote in Psalms 32, verses 1 and 2. This is Paul starting off here with a conclusion of what David wrote in Psalm 32. The blessedness of the man is described by David, of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That man is indeed blessed. Blessed of God. Paul states it. His conclusion. He's going to refer back in the next two verses to what David actually wrote. But this is Paul's conclusion, that David was describing this blessedness. And Paul's conclusion of that is, God imputeth righteousness without works. God has imputed righteousness to this blessed man. What a glory. What a wondrous thing. What a miracle of grace. Man, the natural man, has no righteousness at all. Man is fallen. Man is dead in trespasses and in sins. Man has nothing to commend him naturally. The natural man, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot. He cannot, and he cannot. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And the spirit of man only understands the things of the spirit of man. It takes the spirit of God to understand the things of the spirit of God. That's the way we are. But to this man who is blessed, God imputes righteousness. God imputes righteousness. Completely. Totally. There is no half a righteousness with God. You understand? We're good up till now. But oh, from here on out, it's all up to us, and I've got to do right, and I've got to live right. You can't. You can't. You can't. It does say in the previous chapter about remission for sins that are past. And it does say that, and it is true. But it also comes down here in verse 8, and it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's speaking of the future. That's not speaking of the past. The past has already been taken care of. It's also speaking of, guess what? The future has also been taken care of. God imputes righteousness to this blessed man. What? Not only that. That's not all. Because here's the greatest part for me. The thing that gets me going and gives me hope and the words of God that are a blessing to my soul. He imputes righteousness without works. Without works. Not only imputing righteousness, but he imputes righteousness without works. What does that mean? God imputes righteousness unto man, separate from effort. or toil or work. That's what it means. Completely separate from the man's work, God has imputed righteousness unto him. And it's a complete righteousness. It's a full righteousness. It's a total righteousness. How righteous is it? Well, in some places called the righteousness of God. What? Really? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. You can look it up. It's in there. It's been imputed to us. Now, imputation means we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. It's grace. It's grace. It's all of grace. By grace are ye saved through faith. And what? That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he's going to see fit that we do some good works. And only we will only do good works when he gives us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But here, this righteousness comes to this man without works. Beloved, that is a blessed state. That is the blessedness of the man. That is the blessedness of this man unto whom God has imputed righteousness. But he's imputed it without works. Separate from effort, separate from toil. You can't earn it. You don't earn it. It is a gift. It is a gift from God. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is what it means to be blessed of the Father through his Son by his Holy Spirit. Iniquities are forgiven. Now, iniquities, David in Psalms uses the word transgression. Basically, this word iniquities here, translated from the Greek, means violations, a violation of the law. You broke the law. What does that mean? Well, it probably means you coveted, you stole, you committed adultery, you didn't love God with all your heart, mind, soul, or strength. You didn't love your neighbor as yourself. Those are violations of the law. The penalty for violating the law is death. The penalty is death. That's the penalty. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Sins, the word here means shortcomings, missing the mark, not hitting the mark, and in specific, in not hitting the mark, falling short of the standard, falling short. You never do enough. There's never enough done by any man. We always fall short of the mark. It's not necessarily a direct violation of the law, but it's a fact of what we do wrongly. We do it wrongly. That's the way it is. David put it, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is, what? Covered. 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 I need my sin covered. I need my transgressions forgiven. And the blessed man has had his transgressions forgiven and his sins covered. Who can do that sort of thing? God. God's the only one who can forgive iniquity. God's the only one who can forgive transgression. God is the only one who can cover sin. He is the offended party. Our transgressions are not against each other, even though we may transgress against each other. The transgression Paul's writing of here, that David wrote of here, are transgressions against God, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy Father, the Eternal Father. That's who we sinned against. That's who we have transgressed. He's the one that's offended. He is the only one who can forgive. And he is the only one who can cover our sin. This is the way it works. The offended party has to be appeased. And I can't do it. But he has done it. These are the words of David in Psalm 32. Now, understand, okay? This certainly does not teach at all that man doesn't have transgression or that man has no sin or iniquity. It doesn't teach that at all. It teaches that it's there. Exactly right. There are those wandering around now. If you have the misfortune to meet one, or if you have the misfortune to be one, it's too bad. There are those now who, for some reason, got it in their head. They think that right now they do not sin anymore. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, God a liar. And God ain't no liar. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul wrote Romans 3 to prove, to show that all men are under sin. That's Jew and Gentile. And guess what? There are no more people than Jew and Gentile, because Jews are Jews and Gentiles are not Jews. That's everyone. All are under sin. There is none that naturally seek after God. There is none, not one, none that understandeth, none, no, not one. This is the way of the world, the way of man. But blessed is the man who he's got transgressions. He's got sins. He's got iniquity. Oh, we drink iniquity like water, it says. You got to watch that stuff. But God has forgiven our transgressions. God has covered our sins. And God has not imputed iniquity. It doesn't say it's not there. Man has transgressed. Man has broken the law. Man has not loved God as he should. Man has not honored his father and mother. Man steals, man covets, and commits adultery. Christ said it. If in his heart a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's guilty of what? The transgression. Jesus Christ said that. He didn't take anything away from the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. He just expounded upon it to explain exactly what it means. Paul said, until I had read and understood that the law said, thou shalt not covet, I didn't know I had lust. Now, he didn't say he had no lust until he understood the law. No, he had the lust. He just didn't know it. Christ didn't change any commandment. He expounded upon the true meaning of the commandment. He didn't take anything away from it. That commandment is still there. That commandment is still totally true. But Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I'm going to tell you something. It almost seems like it doesn't get any better than this in this life, on this planet. But wait a minute. It actually does. Because that little thing there that Paul concluded at the beginning of this statement makes everything even better. Not only are the man's transgressions forgiven, not only is his sin covered, and not only will the Lord not impute sin to him, Paul got a conclusion from what David wrote here, that the blessedness of the man is described, that man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. That's even better. Paul used Abraham as the example here, before this statement here by David and afterwards. Specifically what God did for Abraham as the example here at the beginning of the chapter. And then he comes back to Abraham. Romans 4 and verse 20 says this, speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore, what? It was imputed to him for righteousness. What is better than having my transgressions forgiven? What could be better than not having my sin imputed to me? Well, there is something even better. Having the righteousness of Christ imputed unto me. Because not only is the man who is blessed forgiven, not only is that man sins covered, not only is his sin not imputed to him, the man who is blessed is also justified. He is imputed the righteousness of Christ. Then Paul continues on. It is not written for his sake alone. Verse 23 of Romans 4. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. It was written, and it is so. Righteousness was imputed to Abraham. Now this is a reality, not a type or a shadow. We are speaking here of the righteousness of Christ Jesus. It was imputed to Abraham. But Paul states it this way. It's not just for Abraham. Abraham was a special case, and Abraham is not a special case. He is the example given here. And this example is what Paul is saying is done for every believer, every single one whom Christ calls to himself, whom Christ brings to himself. Verse 24, it says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, what? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. I said Paul was using Abraham here as an example in a minute. It was not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for us also. It actually happened to Abraham. It did. It actually happened. This was reality. But it was written there for us also. To whom it shall be imputed. What? The righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. This is for all believers, all who believe on him, all who believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord are imputed the righteousness of Christ. The Father sees us as his children who not only have no sin, he sees us as those who have performed every single thing the God of heaven has demanded, has commanded. But he only sees us that way in his Son, in Christ. It's not of ourselves. Now it's an imputed righteousness. It's not of ourselves. It is ours only in the sense that it has been given to us in the Son, in Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus Christ? Paul continues, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. How are transgressions forgiven? How are sins covered? How is it that God doesn't impute sin to a man? He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. Jesus, our Lord, we can claim him because he's claimed us. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. He has purchased his people. He owns them and he claims them as his own. And he was delivered for our offenses. And he was raised again for what? Our justification. This is nothing new. This is nothing new. I'm about out of time. This is the same way God dealt with Abraham and the same way God saves all his people throughout all the ages. They are saved by grace, through faith, and that not of themselves. It is the gift of God. Hebrews 11 states definitively, referring to Abraham and others, these all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded and they embraced those promises. The blessedness of a man, God has forgiven his trespasses. God has covered his sins. God does all this. God does not impute sin unto him. But God has made unto him, Jesus Christ, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He imputes righteousness to us without works, our works, because of the work of his Son. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.